Thank you, Abby. I just look out in the crowd and I can see how excited you are to hear from me. I know whenever an elected official speaks, there's just electricity in the room, and I can see that that's true here. I want to begin by thanking the National Wind Coordinating Collaborative for organizing this meeting, and as well as the American Wind Energy Association for helping get this all together. I can see by the attendance, and as Abby mentioned, the attendance speaks for itself. There is a great deal of interest in wind energy in South Dakota. On behalf of Governor Rounds, I want to thank you all for coming, because there are challenges, as we all know, to bringing wind energy to the consumer and getting more wind turbines up and the power delivered. And the fact that you're here today shows that you're interested in helping meet those challenges. And you're busy, I'm sure. You've got lots of things to do. And I appreciate the time that you're giving today. It's an honor to be among you, and I look forward to learning from you. I'm the last guy, probably, that should welcome you all here, because what I know about wind energy is just what a layperson might know. I try to bone up on it, but so many of you are going to know so much more than I do. And so I'm really looking forward to learning from you. There's some people I want to begin by acknowledging. First, State Representative Joel Dykstra. Joel, are you here? There he is at the back. Joel helped organize this conference, and Joel, I appreciate you're inviting me to be part of it. Thank you. Also, State Senator Dave Knutson, I know, is going to lead one of the breakout sessions. He's back there. Thank you, Dave, for helping lead us tomorrow, or this afternoon, rather. Also, there are a number of other legislators that are here with us. Representative Bill Thompson is here. Representative Elton Nygaard is here. I saw on the registration, Senator Frank Klocek was registered. Is he here? I don't see him. But I also understand that former Senator Paul Simmons is here. I remember when he introduced wind legislation in the Senate. Paul, are you here? Right back here. And John Koskin, former senator, was instrumental in getting our authority up and running, which I'll mention in just a minute. So thanks to you all for your part in coming and being here together. South Dakota has three elected public utilities commissioners, and all three are very intelligent and hardworking commissioners, and I believe they're here or will be during the next 2 days. I've seen a couple of them. I know Gary Hansen, again, was among the leadership that helped organize that. Gary, thank you for doing that. Also, a member is another member and chair of the commission is Dusty Johnson, and Dusty is here. I saw him. There he is. Thank you, Dusty. He'll be moderating a panel discussion tomorrow morning, and our newest commissioner on the PUC is Steve Kulbeck. Steve, are you here yet? I know that he also will be moderating a panel tomorrow, so we'll welcome him then. In addition, there are a couple of former public utility commissioners who are interested in wind. Bob Saar is here, and Jim Berg, I know, was among the organizers or involved in organizing this. Are you two here? Bob and Jim? I know Bob was earlier. Well, it is cold outside today. It is cold. And in South Dakota, for those of you who are down from a southern state, such as, say, Nebraska, you may not be familiar with the cold up here, but in South Dakota, we have all four seasons. We have almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction. And so we're experiencing one of those four seasons, and I'll leave it to you to decide which one. But it's not windy today. Now, yesterday, it was very windy. My wife called me up on the phone, and she said, I'm at Campbell Supply. She said, I went to the end of our driveway, and some of you know I live on a farm where I grew up near Garrettson, and Linda said, the mailbox is wide open, and the catch is broken. And I said, I know. I tried to wire it shut, kind of slipshod, half-baked job of repair, and I knew it wouldn't last, and it didn't last but a day. So I said, I can fix that, so don't buy a new mailbox. So last night, I got home, and it was probably about 7 o'clock at night, and we have a windbreak on the north and west, and our driveway mailbox is just outside the windbreak. So I bundled up, and I got out there, and it was cold. And then I got outside the windbreak, and it was very cold because the wind was very strong. And I fumbled and struggled and thought, I'm going to get frostbite here, put on these stupid little nuts and bolts, but I got it repaired. But it just reminded me, as I was doing that last night, how ubiquitous the wind is in South Dakota, how often it blows, and how hard it blows. Wind is the world's fastest growing energy source in the world, I'm saying, the world's fastest growing energy source. But the United States has really been slow to take advantage. If you look at some of the other countries, and I imagine some of the other speakers may touch upon this, you can look at wind in South or in America and say it's only about 1.5%, maybe approaching 2% of our energy, electricity energy. And elsewhere in the world, it's been a much larger player. If you look at Denmark, for example, they seized upon wind quite early, and now about 25% of their electrical energy is produced by the wind. In Spain and Germany, where they have more wind, but maybe not as great as a percentage, up to 8%. I think I was reading on a website, a German wind turbine manufacturer website yesterday, 10%, they were saying now, of German electricity is produced by the wind. You know, and this didn't just happen, just didn't pop up. Leaders in those countries developed public policies that moved them toward renewable energy, and particularly wind power. And as all of you know, things are changing. The United States is now moving ahead in wind energy development. I believe we'll see dramatic increases in wind energy utilization for electric power in the next few years. Just think back 10 years ago, we never saw wind turbines, wind farms of any consequence in the Midwest. And you certainly didn't see utilities embracing wind energy as a means for producing electricity. But today, the landscape is changing dramatically. You see large wind farms in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and now we're even starting to see them pop up in South Dakota, bringing new capital, good-paying jobs, and economic benefits in addition to electricity. Why is that happening? Well, probably for three reasons. One, the demand for electric power is continuing to grow. And with demand comes opportunity. And certainly wind can produce some of that electricity that we're seeing new demand for. A second reason is the public is attracted to clean, renewable power. They look at the reports of global warming around the world. They look at the questions of carbon emissions and other pollutants produced by fossil fuels. And yes, they know we need some of those fuels to produce dependable electricity when we throw the switch, even on days like today when there is no wind. Still, they're attracted to clean, renewable energy, wind energy, in South Dakota in particular, because they know it doesn't have that climate warming potential. It doesn't have that air pollution potential. The third reason, though, the biggest reason probably why wind is starting to appear is because the cost of wind has come down and the cost of other forms of producing power has come up. It may not quite be there still. It may be, in some circumstances, still more economical to provide a fossil fuel-generated electric power. But wind is certainly very competitive now, and that's the third reason. As the cost of producing power has been rising, wind has become competitive, and they can stabilize utility rates, protect both consumers and utilities. So why South Dakota? It's appropriate that you come to South Dakota because in many ways we symbolize the wind industry in this nation. We have a terrific wind source and great opportunity here. You know, I think it's about 10 years ago now that the great map of all the states was created with some computer modeling and it identified South Dakota as the fourth largest resource for wind power in the United States. Much of that data was based on computer modeling, but here in South Dakota, we've done things to try and authenticate that data through our wind resource assessment network conducted at SDSU University, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that in the next day and a half. But we have the fourth best wind resource in the nation based on that study, yet we currently rank only 22nd in terms of actual developed wind energy. So what have we been doing recently to try and change that? Well, first of all, in 2003, South Dakota signed into law a measure which amounted to, without going into all the detail of it, it amounted to essentially a 70% reduction in property taxes on wind turbines, a 70% reduction. Secondly, in 2005, John Koskin, who I mentioned earlier, and some others promoted creation of the South Dakota Energy Infrastructure Authority. And that authority produced some reports that helped give us a base of knowledge upon which we can rest to make some decisions about how to utilize what opportunities we have in South Dakota. In 2006, the legislature took another step toward improving the opportunity for wind power when it reduced state sales taxes and contractors' excise taxes on large wind energy projects. So those are some signs that movement is occurring toward encouraging wind, and I believe we're going to soon see dramatic change. A recent study of pending wind projects in the United States determined that South Dakota has nearly 4,000 megawatts of wind energy in development, ranking us third in the nation. Let me mention just a few of the projects that have been reported in the newspapers. First of all, the first real wind farm in South Dakota, you know, was erected at Highmore. It had 44 megawatts of nameplate wind generating capacity, and East River Power bought that energy, and we appreciate that. We currently have another 143 megawatts of wind power capacity under construction. You maybe saw on the television news last night a report on the wind farm that's about to be completed in Brookings County, the Min Dakota Wind Farm by PPM Energy and Xcel Energy. That is in total 150 megawatts. 55 megawatts will be in South Dakota and the rest on the Minnesota side. And they have plans to build an additional 43 to 55 megawatts adjacent to their current project on Buffalo Ridge. Another project that is nearing completion is near our northern border. In fact, it straddles the border with North Dakota. It's the Tatanka Wind Farm by, and I'm not going to pronounce that, Ashiona. And that is a 180 megawatt wind farm with 88 and a half of those megawatts in McPherson County. It's owned by a Spanish company, and it means 20 to 24 jobs in South Dakota, maintenance operations, control room operators, and that project is nearing completion right now. We have another 51 megawatt power plant committed in a Westington Springs project by Babcock and Brown. Heartland Consumer Power District will be purchasing that power. They'll be selling some of that wind power in turn to USD and SDSU to make those campuses 100% green in the energy they purchase. So I guess if the wind's not blowing, you know, the lights won't be on there. But that 51 megawatt power project's expected commercial operation date is set for January of 2009. And they'll supply wind power to the Western Area Power Administration, the WAPA grid, if the WAPA gives permission to interconnect, and I believe that decision is coming next month, as far as I know. I believe that's correct. Many other projects on the drawing board, and again, I'm sure that some of the discussion this afternoon and tomorrow will delve into the specifics of some of those projects, but those projects alone are going forward and are going to represent a significant change in South Dakota's landscape and commitment to wind power. Now, I'm told there's room within our current transmission system to support more South Dakota wind power development, and we need to ensure that capacity is utilized in an efficient manner. But many of those large projects won't become reality unless new transmission lines get built. You know, wind power offers many benefits, and they're not just about providing electricity. Certainly that's the prime benefit, but it's not the only benefit. Large wind farms provide lease payments to farmers who have land that they lease to the wind turbine companies. Wind turbines are developed, if they're developed and owned locally, the annual revenue flowing to landowners can be even greater. Wind energy is adding to the property tax base. Those counties and those school districts where those wind farms are built, even though there is the 70% reduction in the property taxes payable, still the property taxes payable to those school districts and other government entities are significant and critical in rural areas of our state where the property tax bases are, in some cases, declining. The proposed wind projects in South Dakota represent collectively millions and maybe even billions of dollars. And this means construction jobs and more dollars flowing through our communities. And besides construction jobs, of course, wind farms have skilled technicians to keep the turbines properly maintained and performing. And there are also manufacturing and support jobs that are connected with them. I've seen recent examples of that just this year in South Dakota. Last summer, I attended the ribbon cutting for Knight and Carver's facility in Howard, South Dakota, where they're manufacturing and repairing fiberglass wind turbine blades. And why would they locate in South Dakota if they don't believe they're going to have a local market for those blades? Just last summer, I also had the opportunity to tour a wind tunnel research facility here in Sioux Falls. It's performing privately funded research on wind blade shape and configuration. Then just last week, maybe some of you read in the paper locally that molded fiberglass companies held a groundbreaking for a new wind turbine manufacturing plant in Aberdeen. It's actually going to manufacture blades for General Electric's 1.5 megawatt tower. That's one of the most commonly used towers throughout the United States. Those blades are going to be manufactured, or some of them, in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So those are just some examples of what wind energy ramping up in South Dakota means for South Dakota beyond the electricity that it produces. It's also good for the environment. You know, wind farms don't pollute, they don't require water resources, and they don't contribute to global warming. One other thing, a point I think is important, is that wind energy helps reduce the demand for natural gas. If you've been watching the prices for natural gas and the move by some to bring in exported volumes of liquefied natural gas, you know that natural gas prices are becoming very high. And by reducing demand on natural gas, we help our farm economy, which is important to South Dakota because farmers use lots of natural gas to dry their crops, and they also use lots of natural gas to create fertilizer for their crops. So it has those indirect benefits as well. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody. One appealing aspect about wind energy is that the opportunities are available to many players. We have domestic and international wind developers. I had some conversations earlier this week with someone who's talking with a German wind developer interested in coming to South Dakota. In fact, I believe they're in South Dakota this week. We can have domestic and international wind developers with large-scale projects involving billions of dollars. And I believe we'll see maybe school districts making decisions to invest in a wind turbine or two. The city of Howard invested in a couple of smaller turbines. South Dakota will welcome and encourage all of these ventures. Now, there are some challenges ahead. As I said, we have the fourth best wind resource in the nation, but we only have the fourth largest population center. So we can generate it here, but we really don't have a use for it here. So we have to move it away from here. We must access other markets and move our power from South Dakota to those markets where they need it. Transmission lines are critical, and I want to compliment our Public Utilities Commission for recognizing that and working to develop solutions. And I know many of you in this room will be focused on this critical issue in the days ahead. Another critical issue in South Dakota, as well as in other states, is connectivity standards. While it's true federal law provides for access to transmission lines, in most states, interconnection is not easy, and the rules are sometimes unclear. So again, I know our Public Utilities Commission is working hard to establish fair and easily understandable connectivity standards. At the federal level, we also need to encourage a longer-term extension of the wind energy production tax credit. Now that's about 1.9 cents a kilowatt. That production tax credit is given for a year or 2 years. It's set to expire at the end of 2008. And every time wind developers come up close to that, lenders start to draw away and are unwilling to invest because the profitability of wind changes without that production tax credit. What we need is the federal government to establish a longer-term production tax credit, maybe a 5-year extension, instead of this 1 or 2-year extension business. Other states have established policies and incentives to encourage wind, and we should be working and willing to listen to ideas that are working elsewhere. So I hope in the next 2 days I am going to be here. I need you to help me, to help our legislators and other policymakers understand what's working in other states that we can maybe adopt here in South Dakota. We need your help. We'd welcome your thoughts. Let me end today by saying something that's obvious to those of you who have worked in wind energy for many years. The issues and obstacles that are standing in the way of wind development are complex. No single individual is going to be able to solve them. I certainly won't. Not one of you out there will. But together, working together, we can think through these things and work through these obstacles and complex challenges. Because remember, challenges are opportunities in different clothing. And if we seize these challenges and turn them into opportunities, we can make wind energy a reality, and a big reality, here in South Dakota and helping our region. The next couple of years are going to require all of us to work together. So let me end again by thanking you all. Thanking you all for the time you've committed to come here and help us work together and figure out the ways to make this happen. I'm excited about this. I'm very excited. Just think what a giant step it would be if we could just harness the wind generated by my inspiring speeches. Just think of that. Thank you all for being here, and I look forward to being with you for the rest of the conference.